Welcome to Running on Indy. I'm Jesse Davis.
And I'm Blake Robertson.
On today's show, we have Julia and Alan Webb, both fantastic runners. Alan is the American record holder in the mile, and Julia recently competed in the Olympic marathon trials.
And she has a world record in the baby
jogger. Pushing a baby jogger.
At a marathon.
Yeah. Well, today's show is brought to you by 361, and I've been thinking about this lately. When you think about 361, Blake, it's really 360 degrees plus one. So is that less efficient than just going that 1 degree?
That's a good theory.
Well, like, you could just turn 1 degree, or you could go all the way around and then 1 degree. I guess it's 1 degree beyond, so that's the logo, so.
I'm trying to follow you, but my math does.
Well, 360 degrees is a circle. So if you go 1 degree past that, it's a circle. So a full rotation plus one.
All right, I got you.
Or you could get to the same spot by just going 1 degree.
Okay. Well, it took me six times to get out of college algebra. So,
So I guess that's what it means. You're going the extra degree to get all the way around. So that's 1 degree beyond from 361.
I guess the first question we'll ask is kind of go ahead and start off is, how did you guys meet?
Yeah, and I guess we're bringing you guys together since we should point out that Alan is in Arkansas and Julia's in Wisconsin. So we're glad to bring you guys together for some family time.
So yeah,
Running on Indy is all about love.
Yeah,
that's what we do.
Bringing people together.
Yeah, we met basically in the middle between Arkansas and Wisconsin, Indy, you know?
Yeah.
So we met in Indianapolis. Do you know the exact date, Alan?
Uh-oh, putting him on the spot.
Oh, I don't know. March 17th, 2007.
There you go.
Before he set all the records.
That was a good year for you, Alan, 2007.
You only meet your wife once.
Yeah.
I only got one summer's worth of PRs out of it.
But about all the PRs, the best thing was meeting Julia.
Yeah, of course.
Definitely.
And so speaking of that, just getting into running a little bit, we just recently celebrated the anniversary of your high school all-time fastest mile record. I know you've probably been asked about that like a billion times, but to me, personally, that I feel like since I was around and I was in high school at that time, that was a huge moment for me as a distance runner watching that. And I feel like that was kind of like a catalyst for launching this new era of long distance running, American long distance running. And I feel like it's just gotten better since then. I don't know if you ever think about legacy at all and your place in that. To me, you're on the Mount Rushmore of distance runners, American distance runners. In my opinion, I mean, like...
I agree with that.
But I mean, I feel like that moment was so special. It just kind of inspired so many people. And I feel like, I know it inspired me. I started running the mile. And I don't know what your thoughts are on that.
And you got to go on Jay Leno. Or was it...
Yeah, no,
Jay
it was David Letterman.
No, Letterman. Gosh. Right.
Letterman. I mean, I'll let you guys do all the, you know, legacy thinking, you know, because that's really not like what I was trying to do, you know, like,
yeah,
you know, like, I will say it was like a super special day for me, you know,
yeah.
And it was like, it was a culmination of a lot of hard work, but also just being in the right place at the right time. I think that's a lot of it. I still feel like I was a cog in the wheel, and I feel like I need that past runners, you know, runners in the generations before me, a little more credit than they get, you know. I thank you for the kind words, but I still think that we weren't that far. We weren't like not running.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah,
like,
that's true.
Well, you know, I just, you know, maybe the depth got better, but I don't know. I mean, and you could make an argument that that helped.
Yeah.
But I don't think that was necessarily me. You know, I was blessed to be in the right place at the right time. And so you're giving me credit, but it was still just God's hand at work, because that was when the internet came about. And I just happened to be the guy standing there that succeeded when the internet started. And so you could say I inspired the next generation. Well, I mean, the internet was available to inspire the next generation.
That's true.
You know what I mean? So like, I still feel like I was just like a cog in the wheel doing my part, because that's really what I was doing. What I was trying to do was just continue to get better, like I was when I was in the fifth grade.
Yeah.
Running on the Terracet field.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, that's probably the mentality you need to do something like that, though. I guess if you were thinking about just doing just that record, then you probably couldn't have done it, you know? Or it would have been so much more pressure. So yeah, that's a good perspective. Yeah, you're just doing your thing. And
yeah.
Also, talk about one of your inspirations was from Indianapolis, Bob Kennedy.
Oh yeah.
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 I was wearing Bob's shoes. People were like, "Oh yeah."
Oh, for real?
Well, like, Bob Kennedy ran 12:58. I was wearing his shoes.
Yeah.
Oh, seriously, I didn't know that.
That's cool. That's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I had no idea. Yeah, like Bob Kennedy was the name before you came along, and you kind of were the next great American runner, in my opinion. Like when I was growing up, you know, so and coming through track. Yeah. So
exactly.
I went back and watched some of your videos before this, of some of your races, and I was just like blown away again, and like almost 20 years later. So. I guess I'm just a fan. I'm a fanboy.
Thank you.
I appreciate it.
you also got to see some special. You got to see a bunch of my special moments for me personally. You know, you said you were there at Indy in 2007.
Yeah.
You know, when Julian met and I ran USA's there. You know, like those were special moments in my career that just happened to be able to be kind of seen by more people.
Yeah.
And I think that now we're in this age where that inspiration is like, now it's like this tidal wave where now, like, I mean, it's so commonplace to kind of have this access to you know, world class or national class level running. You know,
yeah.
Like this kid, the next kid, this Leo guy, the next Leo.
Yeah.
You know, him and Evan Holland put together a meet, you know, on Instagram, you know, and like everybody got to watch it. Like you think Jim Ryan and Marty Lacori got to do that? You know,
yeah,
like people
exactly.
Found out about it. Like people found out about it like 4 weeks later when they got their issue of Track and Field News.
Yeah. Yeah. It's totally different world.
Yeah,
for sure.
You can argue that whole concept with Michael Jordan too.
Yeah, he kind of came along,
at the right time.
Yeah.
And everything, which made his legacy even more bigger than what it already is. So
yeah.
So you can kind of compare yourself to Michael Jordan.
Yeah. And I remember like watching that USA 1500 where you won in Indianapolis. I was on top of a parking garage across the street. And I had a really good view though.
He also has a big old picture in his room of you.
I do not.
That he worships.
No, yeah. But I remember watching that. And I remember your post-race interview where you were talking about the level of competition. And that's just what made me think about growing the sport, because you were talking about, yeah, maybe we should be running this times as American athletes. Maybe we should expect to run this fast. And that's what just got me on that train of thought about growing the sport. And I feel like you were a big part of that. So that
I will say that was the message that I wanted to say.
Yeah.
I felt like I was like, wow. It took us so long to break 4 minutes, but then like I knew once I kind of went to the next level, I was like, yeah, running under 4 minutes is cool, but like we shouldn't like have that as being like the stopping point, you know, like that should be a rite of passage for the elite distance runner. That's like the first stop in the journey for anybody that has wants to have a prayer to compete.
Yeah.
You know, and so for a high school kid to do it, yeah. I mean, we should have guys breaking 4 minutes every year.
We're almost getting to that point. We're almost there.
Yeah.
We're getting there. Yeah.
What do you feel about everybody since you that at all the high school runners that have broken four have been like right at 3:59. Do you feel like it helped that you had already broken four when you went for the record? Like you had already got that done and it wasn't just like I'm gonna run 3:59.
Yeah, I
guess you were probably just in the race.
I guess what he's asking is it was the pressure off of you, I guess, now. It's like, now I just go for it.
There may be I think that was part of it. But even then, I remember going into that race knowing that I'd only run 3:59.86, which is basic, you know, 14 hundredths of a second under 4 minutes.
Yeah.
And so my goal still that at that point was like, I just want to break 4 minutes again. That was still... That was really my only real goal.
Yeah, you
know, it was such an unknown beyond that. I was like, I don't even know what looks like.
Talk about a stacked race, though. I mean, with El Garouge, and I just rewatched that, and I was like, jeez. Talk about the race to do it. That was perfect. So
yeah, so I was in the right. I was in the right race, the right time. I was super duper fit.
Yeah,
you know my. Coach Roscoe did a phenomenal job at inching me properly throughout the year,
mm-hmm.
so that I was running well when I should, you know. And
but it really started when you were like six, whenever you started swim team, and that's one of the things I fell for you. Like your work ethic and your dedication. I mean, that's like those are the qualities that I saw in you that I was like, that is incredible. And, you know, those are things I aspire to do, but I'm like really weak in areas that you are just solid. I mean, this guy, if he's motivated to improve on anything, he gets an A+ in every category versus me. I'm like, I gotta stay up an extra hour cause I gotta chill out. And he's
I wouldn't sell yourself short, Julia. When we were in Indianapolis,
some accomplishments too,
you were working pretty hard. Yeah.
I mean,
I'm just saying he does the extras that I lack in, and that's why the things I was like, I need a man.
But Alan, can you do a handstand like she can?
No, I can't. I'm terrible. I'm so bad.
That's not true. Like,
I can't do a handstand.
I can't at all.
A knee surgery. We haven't tried since your new knee came in.
Yeah, but, I haven't tried.
I think at least 5 years ago, you had aspirations to hold a good handstand, and I had them on video.
Also,
and you held it for like a second. So,
also, Julia.
Yeah, I've learned a lot of mistakes. I think I could have done a better job on at least a couple of the core strength type things. I got, but hey, man, a lot of the time we were sort of going into uncharted territory. And so,
yeah, pioneer.
Well, Julia, you can't sell yourself too short because you do happen to own a world record.
Yeah,
that's right.
You got a world record. There you go. So kind of talk about that.
Well, half marathon.
Yeah, it's half marathon with a stroller. That's
baby
pretty.
Jogger. And how heavy
was it? Yeah, how heavy was it? Kind of talk about that, the criteria and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so it's unofficial right now. Guinness is working on, they have limited staff right now with COVID, but they are going to check it out to see if it's actual. It wasn't Alan pushing it because he was biking with me, but I would say our daughter weighed about 20 pounds, and then the stroller is about 22. So
that's legit.
It was pretty, and it had wheels, so it wasn't like I was pushing a rock. But yeah. This last November I ran 121.30.
Yeah, I got 121.23.
Oh, there we go. Yeah.
I did my research.
If I get this world record, that'll be the only world record in the family.
Uh-oh. Right? Uh-oh. Talking trash.
Yeah, I'm still there.
He's gone now.
He's gone. He'll come back.
He'll come back. Do you have any tips for people who are wanting to get into pushing the baby jogger?
Well, I would say get the stroller. before you have the baby, because once you have, you know, the new baby, it's everything's gonna be crazy and chaotic, and you got to have your mindset to it that I'm gonna make running a part of my life. And I think that helps transition you as a parent, so you kind of keep some sanity, and it can be a huge tool for, you know, naps and just giving you some free time. You don't have to worry about who's gonna watch my kid while I run. It's like you can do both at the same time. But yeah, I would just say, just get out there and do it. You know, sometimes, like the other day, I was doing an easy run, and I saw, and it was hot out, and this woman came up this hill, and she was pushing two kids that were like 2 years old, and I was like, my kids are at home. Good job. So I just think that so many parents make excuses. They're like, oh, I don't have time. And once you have those kids, if you get the stroller, it's like a built-in babysitter right there, and you can have a lot of fun with them.
Yeah. Do you got any training tips for anybody?
Training tips, I would say just keep one arm on the stroller. I see a lot of people hunched over, and they're kind of gripping it like they're riding a motorcycle. You can still run pretty natural when you're pushing the stroller. So just swing one of your arms like as if you're running and switch. And then just, I don't know, I've had flat tires, so bring a phone with you. It's not fun to push a flat tire for 3 miles.
Yeah.
And just have fun with them. Just go fast and your kids will like it.
Yeah, and you also, you qualified for the Olympic trials while you were pregnant?
It's a true story. It was early in the pregnancy, and not to discount it, because I felt like crap, like that the last 2 weeks as I was getting ready for the marathon. Everyone's saying, oh, you feel so bad because you're tapering, but really it was a pregnancy that was getting ready to go full circle into creating a baby. So anyway, I had a great training block, and that's what helped me in the race itself. But yeah, I found out a couple weeks after the marathon that it was actually baby Gabby, and now she's almost 1.5 now. So it's a pretty cool story. She ran her first marathon. We ran 2:44:34.
Got it.
Yeah. That's unbelievable. I couldn't believe that I was able to do that, especially with how bad I felt with the.
Well, she, baby Gabby's already ran a 2:44 marathon. She's got to get. Yeah. Oh, she can get faster now.
There you go.
Yeah. She's got a pretty good half in the stroller.
And then, you guys have three daughters. Is that right?
Three.
Yeah, three. Awesome. Do we got any?
Outnumbered.
I'm sorry. You're outnumbered by women. Yeah.
We're going for the 4x4 at some point, I think.
The 4x4?
We've talked about how I'm young enough where we may try for more children down the line, and I just have a feeling that all these women, there just needs to be one more for a solid maybe a distance medley relay.
Yeah, I don't think they're gonna
be specialists.
Hey, Alan, you're a girl dad. Hashtag girl dad.
I'm just throwing this out there. There's never been a female sub 4. Do you think you get one of your girls got that in them?
Oh, I don't think so.
Carbon plate shoes? Over.
Huh?
Yeah. You never know with the shoes how they involve the next decade.
Oh, yeah.
They might put a motor on them.
What are your guys' impressions on the modern day shoes?
Yeah, what's your opinion
of both of you guys?
Yeah. Julia has all the experience. You fire away, Jules.
I like them. <They're helpful. laughs> I had never worn a pair up until that half marathon where I pushed baby Gabby. And honestly, I was really tired going into that race. I was contemplating not running it. And then I received my pair.
And you're talking about the Olympic trials, right? Atlanta.
No, I'm talking about the half marathon.
Oh, at the half. Okay. My bad.
The stroller half. Yeah. So it was just a crazy month, and I was like, okay, I guess I'll do it. I get the pair of the Next Percent the day before the race. I worked for Nike, so I had some friends hook me up as a going away gift, and so I did not realize how incredible they were until I did two strides in them the day before, and I thought, I can do this record because I got these to help me.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's tough because it's almost like once you get the shoes, when you go back to the old ones, you're like, okay, that's like a wimpier version of myself.
So it's really, I've never wore them. So it's really that much of a difference.
Oh, they are worth it.
God, they're so expensive, man.
Hefty paycheck, but honestly, maybe it's not worth it. Because like I said, once you get in them, it's like you can't go back. Because then you're like, ooh, my legs don't feel good.
So question, Alan, if you had them bad boys on when you ran your American record, how much faster do you think you would have gone? Just in theory.
Well,
I'm just asking.
Put them on the spot.
They're
more for marathon, I think.
Yeah.
They're more for marathon.
Yeah.
But they do have some shoes now. Track ones.
But I've never worn them, so I don't know. I can't really make a concrete comment. But I mean, from what I've seen, it seems to me that it's really, it matters. I would say it matters more on the road. I'm not saying it doesn't help on the track, but I think it helps less. I don't know if somebody's done a study on that yet, you know?
Yeah, I could see that.
So if it increases you 4%, right? So you can just do math, right? I can't do math, but I'm just saying take what, you know, take as a American record. And then, you know, what do you use?
That's what I'm saying. You can't do it like that.
No, I don't think so, man.
Put you at 339?
That's why I say I don't think you can do it like that. I don't think it's like...
No, I don't think so either.
I think from what I gather, like, as you go down in distance, the effect is less.
Yeah, because I think it's about energy usage, yeah, overall. So the longer the distance, the more more supposed advantage. Yeah,
it's your leg, so to speak.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I don't think they made anything with spikes that I know of.
Did you wear the?
I haven't ran a track in a million years.
At the trials, Julia, did you wear the ones they gave you for free?
Oh, I did. Okay. Yeah. So then I tried the ones that have an even greater percent.
Jesus.
But honestly, I didn't. It was the Alpha Fly. I kind of just was a little. Didn't do my homework, and I just was like, oh, I'll just try them on. But honestly, my feet were killing me by the halfway point.
How was Atlanta overall, the experience?
Oh, the experience was great. I was getting distracted because I had never seen the Olympic Trials marathon. And here I'm like kind of in the middle of the pack. I had some hiccups in training. I was sick for a long time in the early winter. So my hopes and dreams of like running an amazing PR kind of went down the drain. But I did the best I could, but the experience was like, first of all, it was like a scream tunnel for at least, I would say, 23 of the 26 miles. The only time it got real quiet was like the back loop where you're actually going under the Olympic rings. And it was really a tough section at the last 3 miles, and everyone's at the finish. But it was like deafening, and it almost threw you off because you're like, I don't know what pace I'm running. All I hear is screaming, and your body's like trying to collaborate. You know, what are we running, fast, slow? So I got out too fast. And then when I started dying, I went out too hard and I died. I forgot that I missed some training. I thought maybe the Olympic spirit would get me to pull through. But I just kept watching the race because it was so many out and backs, and it was so cool to see like the leaders, and I could see them coming by, and I could see so many friends. So it was an incredible experience. It was incredibly painful as well because I'd gone out too fast.
I read your Facebook. You said it was a 7 out of 10, where childbirth is 10 out of 10. So
yeah.
A little 3 notches off.
Yeah, 3 notches off. The childbirth is just untouchable for the amount of intensity. But I'd say 7 out of 10 because I got to like watch a cool like movie of the Olympic trials happening as I'm running.
Yeah, it's kind of a cool way to watch it. Yeah. So you both are going to be coaching this fall at Arkansas?
Yes, we are.
Yeah.
Alan has brought me under his wing. I am just going to be a volunteer assistant, so he's the big dog in cross country.
All right.
Awesome.
Congrats. How long have you been coaching, Alan?
Well, I'm going into my second year here at Little Rock. This is my first full-time job, I'd say. Assistant volunteering positions, scattered throughout the last decade, this is I'm going in my second year really being in the driver's seat of a full group, and I'll have my first, my first recruiting class coming in, which I'm really, really, really pumped about. You know, a lot of really cool guys and gals that that were, you know, just optimistic about just getting better, you know, and it's going to be a lot of fun. It really, it really is.
That's awesome,
it's,
man.
It's a great group.
And
so being that these guys probably were born before, you know, when you were setting your records, do they even know who you are? You have an idea.
Do you ever get anybody that's like, did you used to run, coach?
Yet, yeah.
I wonder if you've got, have you got that yet?
Just touched on that in one of our meetings. It was an inspirational day, and, and we kind of touched on that. We're like, so how many of you guys were not born when Alan set this high school record?
That's crazy to think about.
Half and half.
Yeah.
Half and half.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Number one, two. Nobody has memories of it, I would say. No.
Nobody has what? Nobody has memories of it.
Memories.
Oh, yeah.
Memories of it.
So how do you feel about Julia coming on board?
I feel great. I totally need her help. You know, she's she has so much experience. You know, she has more experience than I do at the collegiate level, you know, as an athlete.
Yeah.
So I just value her opinion big time. And, you know, she's somebody that I just totally trust in terms of like, just, you know, all, in all aspects, you know, I'd be going to her, you know, getting her opinion on things that I was doing even before she wanted to, even before this. So, you know, it's going to be great. And it's going to be like our, like our run dates, you know, when at practice, they'll like our time away from kids will be, you know, we get to kind of do something fun together, and like this will be one of those opportunities. So I'm just ecstatic.
Nice.
So when you're I got a question about your coaching, because we talked about it earlier about your work ethic. You know, not everybody has the work ethic you have, or the mindset you have, or the mentality you have to get to the level you're at. So obviously you're coaching a bunch of college kids. Is that hard for you to try to get them to have the passion and desire that you do, or do you have to step back? Like, how do you approach that? You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying. You know, I think just like with training, just bit by bit, you know, I think it's something that, you know, I'm just going to be persistent and consistent with that message, you know? And, you know, I understand, you know, that, you know, people are people, and, you know, there's, you know, college has a lot of temptations that are there. You know, and I wasn't born yesterday, you know, and I wasn't perfect either, you know? But I certainly tried. You know, that's the message, you know. I think Julia can back me up that it's talked about, you know, the peripherals, and we're just going to encourage them. You know, I feel like if I could, you know, I'm an encourager coach, you know, I try to look for the positives, in every situation. You know, the truth needs to be heard too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Well, I didn't know if you're out there, they're doing quarters and you're like, damn it, 50 seconds. You know what I'm saying?
No, not at all. He recognizes where you're at. That was one thing that stood out to me. I remember when I first met him, I was like embarrassed to run in front of him. Maybe even for the first time. I was like, oh, I look just atrocious. My form, I'm just like shuffling and just hunched over, but Alan really just celebrates each person, and that's why he's such a good coach. He gets down to your level, and he totally understands that he was a freak. I thought, oh, if somebody's that fast, what is he going to think of my mile time? But it's not like that at all. And when I first started dating him, he was coaching his little brother, And here, his brother has the same genetics, and his dream was to break 2 minutes in the 800. And he did do it, and he won his district. And awesome. For them, him, that was like his like American record moment, you know? And I was just blown away how excited Alan like jumped a fence. I remember to just go, just tackle him and be like, "You're amazing." And so Alan isn't conceited at all. And he knows that his talent was so rare, and his ability to work hard. So he's great with getting down to your level. He would never swear at you if you couldn't run a 40-second, a 50-second, 400.
Well, to be fair, Julia, 99% of the world's population ever would be embarrassed to run in front of Alan. So.
the eighth fastest mile of all time. Yeah, so, fastest American.
Yeah.
Okay, let's take a little quick break from our guests, Julia and Alan. Fantastic conversation, you think, Blake?
Yeah, everything's
going well.
Yes, great conversation.
Fantastic guest, Alan. I'm honestly fanboying out on this interview, but but he's a great guest, and so is Julia. I've known her for a long time. So
I'm a fanboy with Julia. So
yeah, you know, I knew Julia, and like Alan, I've met him a few times, so it's like, you know, it's a little different. Mm-hmm. So anyway, our sponsor break, we're going to talk a little bit about 361. I'm wearing the Phantoms. It's a nice lightweight trainer. What are you wearing?
I'm wearing the Spire 4s. It's got the carbon plate fibers.
Carbon plate.
Yeah, carbon plate.
Carbon fiber plate.
Sorry, carbon fiber plate. There you go. Sorry. That's what, you know, the new technology everybody's going with now. So when I run in, it doesn't hurt my feet as much. So.
Yeah, it does the running for you, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
You don't have to run. The shoes do it.
Yeah, I just chill when it does. It runs, moves my legs.
All right. Yeah, so go out and check out your 361s. You can find them at your local runners forum or your local run specialty shop.
So are you guys going to be moving to Little Rock, or are y'all going to be kind of...
Julia's, I think Alan's already there. Well, I'll let you answer.
Yeah, we're actually there. Alan, I'm just visiting my parents right now in Austin.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, so y'all actually live in Little Rock. Okay,
you
okay.
Do.
Yeah.
All
right,
yeah.
Gotcha.
Cool. You got anything else?
I'll be there right now. It's my office.
Nice. Congrats on the coaching gig.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I'm interested to see how y'all end up doing. So that'd be awesome.
Thank you.
I will say this. I was watching a podcast with you, Ryan Hall, and Ritz this morning. I know y'all have done a couple of them. And I found y'all were talking about the 10K that you raced him. And I felt like that. I was watching, I was like, man, Ritz really, he couldn't get over it. Alan kept beating him. I was like, wow, because he was really upset that Alan beat him. But that was an awesome race. I watched that race. And actually, my friend Anthony Famgetti was right behind you guys as well. I don't know if you remember that either.
Yeah, that was a big race for Anthony, too.
Yeah, it was. It was his PR. And if it wasn't for you, you set the, I think it was your first, was that your first 10K? Like on the track?
I think there's one and only.
It was your first 10K. So you had the record for the fastest first 10K, and he would have had it if you didn't beat him. So that's what he said. So yeah, but yeah, that was a good race.
Chris Zielinski's 26:59 was his first two. So
yes.
Oh, I didn't know that. Really? Yeah. Okay.
I didn't know that was his first one.
I didn't know that was his first one either.
That was after the fact.
But you had it before him.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Yeah, that was an awesome race. That was a really awesome race. It was exciting to watch.
Yeah, so. I miss your celebrations. I always liked your celebrations when you ran, like when you crossed the line and you won. I thought those were the best.
After that race, I like fell over and died.
No, I mean like after the mile, when you won like a big mile race and your celebrations. I always loved that. It was great.
Yeah, actually, we both work at a running store. I work, at one of the stores, not the Runner's Forum, but the other one.
Mm-hmm.
There's a big picture of you, and you're like, you're in that yellow Nike thing, mm-hmm. and you're like coming through
Single
like that.
It.
Yeah, I don't know which race it was, but yeah, you're like.
It was USA's.
It was USA's? Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because it was in Indy.
Yeah. Okay. All
right. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
What?
I was extra pumped up for that one.
Yeah, that was impressive.
Because the year before, I didn't even make it to the meet.
Oh,
so I
yeah.
was just like, a lot of emotions.
Yeah. I could tell. Yeah, that was some fantastic.
You said something about your foot, right? You hurt your foot during the 10K? You had a blister on your foot. Yeah. You were talking about that.
I got really bad blisters after that. But then my body was wrecked. You know, everything was broken. Mm-hmm. Or everything was just super fatigued. And it was a little too much, you know. When I tried to open up a couple stride, you know, at some point after that, I forget how long, but not enough time. Hmm. And doink, there goes the rest of my arm, and, you know, whatever, it happens.
Yeah.
Well, it was a good race. It was a hell of a race.
And Nathan and I put better throughout our whole career, you know, and it was
started in high school.
You know, yeah, exactly. So I wouldn't be the runner I was without Nathan and Ryan, you know, like all along. You know, we just pushed each other, and you know, we pushed each other, and it was awesome, you know. I was just grateful to have those two around.
Well, I really like the way you put it in that podcast. You said you guys all three kind of found your way, different paths. You know what I'm saying? Like y'all all excelled in your own kind of all distance runners, but y'all found your different path and excelled in everything. And every like all three of you had an American record at one time. You know what I'm saying? So
we still do.
So you both all three found your niche. So I thought that was a really good assessment.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't think anybody sets records without being pushed. So you need people right on your level. So I thought it'd be a fun way to kind of wrap this up. I wanted to go over some records and some funny records and see if you think, tell me if you think you got it or not. Okay. If you could do it right now.
Okay.
Do you want to try? I got some funny mile and half marathon records. So,
is this for Alan or me?
It's for both of you.
Okay.
So some funny mile records. 4:37 dribbling a basketball. You think you can get that, Alan?
Dribbling a basketball?
Right now? Yeah.
Right now.
Now when I was fit. Now 2007.
Yeah. Now he'd have a tough time. He could maybe do a 200.
I 4:37. With spikes on, with nothing.
Okay, so Julia, half marathon. Maybe you could do this with the baby jogger and get two world records, just a thought. 1:36:37 in a suit.
Ooh.
Do you think you could get that?
That's my goal once they put some races back on the map.
Yes. Like a dress suit?
Yeah, like a dress suit.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know about the shoes. I don't think you have to wear dress shoes, but...
I can do dress shoes too.
All right. Maybe you can double up on the records. I'm just throwing this out there.
I mean, if you run on a trail, it'd be soft. You know, you could wear dress shoes on that.
Oh, the world record for the.
I won 4 spikes in a half marathon. No joke.
Oh, my goodness. I bet your calves were destroyed.
It's not up here, but the world record for in the jeans was just set, a mile and 4:11.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
4:11 in jeans.
He ran 4:06.
4:06. Yeah. He had skinny jeans on.
Well, you're going off my script here, so I don't know. I don't have that one written down.
I know. I was just throwing it out there. Yeah, 4:06.
I saw it. I watched it.
Isn't that impressive?
Yeah, Johnny Gregoric did it.
Yeah.
Johnny Gregoric.
They were 100% in cotton, too.
Oh.
But did he have the next percent songs? So they don't count.
I hope he had some, like, Body Glide or something. Jeez.
Now, he had skinny jeans on.
I asked him, and they said he was chafe-free. He got this custom pair of Levi's. He broke them in.
Okay, Alan, how about 6:07 mile skipping rope? Do you think you could get that? I don't know how good of a jump roper you are.
I'm not great, but if I got healthy, that one actually might. I think that one might be sounds reasonable.
Yeah, 6:07. You could do that.
6:07.
That's a jog, right? It's just jogging.
Yeah.
You could, well, I mean, it's running.
An interval and get it at the same time.
There you go.
It's run. You have to get the time down in your jump roping.
Yeah, that would be the hardest part, I think. I don't know if you can. Can you juggle?
I can't juggle.
Oh, because there's
well, Julia, what was my best number of the hand? I got like maybe 13 times I could throw the ball up.
Because the world juggling mile record is 4:43. So if you can't juggle, I don't know if you could do that.
No way.
4:43?
Yeah, it was set in the 80s. No one's been able to break it since the 80s. So.
It's actually impressive.
Yeah. Julia, 3 hours and 7 minutes. 35 seconds in ski boots.
Ooh, that's painful.
Wait.
A half marathon.
Oh, a half marathon.
Oh!
In ski boots.
That's another good one to try.
Yeah, there you go.
That sounds awful.
It does sound awful.
I could barely walk in ski boots.
You can literally break your leg doing that.
I mean, if you had it on snow, it wouldn't be that bad.
That would be worse.
I don't think the course matters, but...
Yeah, on snow?
Definitely no skis.
I feel like the shoes would... It would like break by the time you finish that.
Yeah, no kidding.
I should be writing these down to give me ideas so I don't lose motivation.
Yeah.
Your shins will just break probably. Because it locks your foot in there.
I don't know what you just did. You say shins?
Shins. Okay. I'm from North Carolina, by the way.
No.
I got a. Okay, this is one that you could both set. This is a couple's half marathon record. Are you ready? 142:47 in a two-person pantomime costume. Could you do it?
Let's do it.
I don't know what that is.
I don't know what it is either.
I think it's like a two-person. I should have looked it up. I thought everybody would know. I think it's just a two-person costume. Like maybe you know like those. I could be wrong. It might be one of those like zebra ones or like the horse ones where someone's in the front and the back.
But then, wouldn't you just call it like a horse costume?
Well, it's a pantomime costume. I was gonna look that up, and I totally should have. But just think about it.
We should create one. You should have we could do a three-legged race where you have to have a couples where you have to tie one leg together.
Oh yeah,
and you have to run.
I think that is a record too. I don't know what it is, but
I'm pretty sure Nick Simmons is probably trying to get all these. That's what he does on his videos.
The half is a little long for him, so we have a shot.
He just got married, so maybe.
He tried the Big Mac one. That didn't go very well.
You know, Nick Simmons actually had the dribbling a basketball one. He had it, and then my friend just broke it.
Dylan
Sorensen. Yeah, you. I forgot you worked with him. Yeah.
Alan used to race with him. Alan was a triathlete with him.
Oh yeah, Dylan Sorensen.
Dylan broke that record.
Yes.
Yeah, he has the dribbling the basketball record. I didn't know you knew him. Otherwise, I would have brought it up.
So if you watch him doing it, he's pushing the basketball forward.
It's dribbling. Yeah,
that's what you do. I'm not taking it away. I'm just saying that's how he does it.
That's called dribbling a basketball.
Well, Dylan and Alan and I went for a run back in like 07. That was a cool moment, actually, because Dylan became like a superstar at some point.
He's coaching at North Carolina, I think.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. North Carolina. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I got two more. I think you got this one for sure, Alan. 10-11 mile blindfolded.
Ooh.
Blindfolded?
Blindfolded. 10-11.
You get a guy?
It was a guy.
You get to like...
He could do that.
Oh, yeah. I don't know what the I just know that the record's 10-11 blindfolded. I don't know what the stipulations are.
You gotta have a guy. There's no way you.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe a rope or something. I don't know what the rules are. I just know that's the record.
Okay.
Yeah, he could do it. You could do that.
I think you got it.
Yeah.
I think we'll do that the first day of practice here. I'll bring a blindfold and we'll
kind of. You gotta tape it.
I think I can run. I think if I really started training, I might be able to run 10-11 for 2 miles in the perfect setting.
this is 1 mile. 1 mile blindfolded. This is a 1 mile record. Yeah, 10-11.
In 10-11?
Yeah, you got that. That's easy.
Well, blindfolded?
Yeah.
Yes, we'll try it. Because
you can damn near walk a 10-minute mile if you walk fast enough.
That's a good walking mile.
Well, I know, but what I'm saying, like, it's just a little, like, you could just jog.
What if you trip?
Yeah, that's true.
You gotta wear knee pads, elbow pads.
I don't know. I should have looked up the rules for that. I don't know. All right, one more. Julia, 2 hours, 16 minutes, and 3 seconds for a half marathon running backwards.
Ooh, that's tough.
Ooh. I mean, I definitely was an advocate for backwards running when I was coaching at Nike. I'd have my employees do that, but and I would challenge them to do like, I was like, who wants to do a 200 repeat backwards? I don't know. That would be really hard. 2 hours. Oh, that's like what?
216. Yeah, I don't know. Okay. I don't know what the pace is.
I have to report back to you guys when I try it.
I think that might be 9 minute pace.
8 minute pace is like 2 hours even, roughly. So yeah. Probably. Yeah.
Yeah.
About 8 minutes.
Yeah, that's
probably. Okay. That sounds reasonable.
Yeah.
It sounds like it wouldn't be fun.
No, I don't think it would be fun at all. I think that's the biggest barrier on some of these. Like, it just wouldn't be fun.
Yeah. It begs the question, like, can you do it or should you do it?
Yeah, exactly. Well, fantastic interview today. Thank you, Julia. Thank you, Alan. And for all of you listeners out there, thank you so much to Village Recording Studio, where we record our podcast. If you want to look into getting your own podcast and you live in the Indianapolis area, check it out. And just remember, Indy, to keep...
Running on Indy.